By large, pit bulls are great family dogs. By large, salespeople are great family providers and entrepreneurs and good people. But anytime one of us rips somebody off, what do? They make the fucking Wolf of Wall Street. You know what I mean? And make us look like a bunch of degenerates. You know, really the best sales movie out there is Tommy Boy. Because that's where like shit was dumped on him. He got a mentor. He hit the road. He did the work. He made it happen. But Tommy never seemed like he was selling anybody either.
If you don't know who Ryan Stuman is, aka the Hardcore Closer, get out from whatever rock you're living under and consume some of his content. This man has a list of accomplishments and books he's published, podcasts, trainings. He's all over the place, one-umping himself again and again and again. I'm not going to list all these because it would take the entire episode, so we will have some of those in the show notes. Now into the nitty-gritty, guys. Price of admission, share with a friend. Leave that 5-star review if you took some value from here, and go ahead and make sure to subscribe. Downloading the episode as well to save for later, that also helps us. We want to spread this to as many people as possible, bringing on amazing people like Ryan every single week, and we are not slowing down. With the caliber of information and knowledge that we have coming on with our guests, do not sit on this. Analysis paralysis is not a place for our listeners to be stuck in. Apply this information today into your business and life, and you will see success. Let's get into this episode.
Now we are live with another episode of the Dedication to Excellence podcast. I am your host, Eugene Tamampos, alongside my right-hand man, my co-host, Dustin Reyna. How are you today, sir?
I am great. Looking at that backdrop back there in downtown San Francisco, it's looking beautiful, though. Mine's cloudy.
Yeah, but I think I'd much rather trade you in today's world to be indoors. That is a conversation we can we tend to have pretty regularly, and I feel like it's gonna keep coming up as a theme. But anyway, for those of you listening for the first time, welcome. The purpose of this show is to not just inspire and motivate, but to give you real actionable steps and operational strategies from high achievers who have done the things we'll be discussing with them. Because once you're excited, folks, guess what? You actually got to go out there and do some shit. In today's episode, we have the hardcore closer himself, Ryan Stuman. He's got a long ass list of accomplishments, going from being the best of the best in sales across multiple industries to now having coached and mentored countless sales professionals to become masters in their fields through organizations like the Breakthrough Academy and the Apex Entourage. He is a best-selling author, a contributor to major publications such as Forbes, Entrepreneur, The Huffington Post. I can go on and on. He's a podcaster. You get the point. Overall, he is just one bad motherfucker. My brother Ryan, welcome to the show, sir.
What up, fellas?
What up? We are excited to get into your story. I know a lot of your foundation was built from your early days in sales at the car wash. So maybe if you could just take us back to the beginning of that journey for those of you who don't know your background.
Yeah, you know, I have my life story can be really long, or I can give you the, you know, 10,000 foot view. I'm going to give you just a quick view of it. If you want to know more details, there's obviously books and shit that I've written that go into more detail. But I was a hyperactive kid like most entrepreneurs, right?
Of course.
Right now, my kids are hyperactive. I'm like, I diagnosed you with being successful in life later on, right? But that hasn't how I grew up, right? I grew up and it was considered like a problem kid, you know? He's always talking in class. He's always got all this energy. Think about things that this is how fucked up society, and this isn't something new. I'm 41 years old. I'm old as shit. But like, just think about this. Like, even when I was a kid, teachers were teaching you in school the exact opposite of what it takes to be successful. They tell you to sit down, shut up, listen, right? But like, if you don't get imagine if Gary Vaynerchuk had listened to his teacher, because you know they told that interrupted motherfucker to shut up, sit down, and pay attention a million damn times, right? Right, you know that, right? But imagine if he'd actually listened to him. The whole reason that dude's success, because he don't listen, he don't shut up, and he interrupts everybody. That's his thing. I'm not hating on Gary. I'm saying that's the exact opposite. Gary's got way more fucking money than any of us that are listening to this, man. And so that's the exact opposite of what you learn in school. It's the same for me. Well, because of that, obviously, I got in trouble school a lot. So my adopted father, my dad adopted me. He made me work at his car wash. So I started off like mowing the grass when I was like 8. And then, you know, by the time I was 13, they let me sell these car washes, where it's like someone comes in and want a $5 car wash. My job is sell my $8 car wash. And I made a little money in between, like a quarter or some shit. Right. I think it was a nickel. But anyway.
You still remember your sales pitch, how you got them to buy the upsell?
Man, you know, I would always just, and it depends on how busy it is, because some days there, and this is where I got a lot of my sales skills from, some days that you were washing 500 to 1,000 cars. And if you do the math in a 10-hour day, that's 50 to 100 cars an hour consistently. So that's 50 to 100 ups that I'm having to pitch consistently, because there wasn't two people that worked. And the good news is there's a line. So you're walking the line as they're pulling up. You've been to a car wash. You know how it goes, right? Mm-hmm. And so on a busy day, you got one pitch and one pitch only. But on a slower day where you're washing, you know, 20 or less cars an hour, my whole thing is I would look at it and I'd be like, oh, you probably need some of this, man. It'll make you look good in this. So I try to place myself like who the person was. Like if it was back then, like the Daytons and shit were real fancy in the Hispanic community, right? Uh-huh. So I would say it's like, oh, man, you know, we'll scrub your white walls down and shit like that. So you get up front, man, there won't be any black traces on. You look good at the meetup tonight. You know what I mean? Like I just knew how to talk to people depending on what they want, right? I know some 60-year-old white dude ain't going to put Armor All on his tires. Like I knew that because I had been told no by all of them. So I didn't even pitch it. Right. But they like hand wax. Right. So I just had to kind of know the audience. But anyway, obviously the car wash doesn't pay much money. And I sold drugs on the side and obviously got in trouble for that and ended up going and doing a little time in prison for like a small amount of drugs. I wasn't like some kingpin dude pushing weight or nothing like that. Matter of fact.
Okay, Scarface.
Yeah, I didn't really do anything crazy with drugs. It, like my life was almost like Breaking Bad for a short period of time, though, because I did get in trouble for like $200 worth of coke, right? That's what I ended up getting charged with. And literally, it was probably $50. You know how the fucking cops do. They were like, oh, this is a $200 on the streets. Bitch, I'm not buying it from dudes on the block of South. But anyway, so $200 worth of coke. But then I got to pay a lawyer fee. I still got the job at the car wash, right? So now I got to pay lawyer fees and I got to pay my grandma back for the bail money she gave me, which was like $2,500, which was a shitload of money to me back then. So now I start selling even more drugs, right? To pay for the fucking problem that the little amount of drugs caused in the first place, man.
Right.
And dude, like literally by the time I was sentenced to 2 years in prison, it had been about 2 years in between the offense and actually getting sentenced. And I didn't really sell drugs prior to then. I just hustled a little bit. At this point, I had three jobs. Two of them were, one of them was being an electrician. One of them was working at a Mexican restaurant. And the third one was selling dope until about 2 a.m., man. And like, I was just hustling every way I could. But once I went into prison, I'm like, I'm leaving that life behind. I'll never have this phone again. I'm not going to live in Dallas ever again. Nobody will know me. I'm going to go move to the suburbs and live a quiet life, right?
How old were you at the time?
19 or 20. And so pretty young, you know, not smart enough to or experienced enough to fucking know anything. See, some people are lucky, you know, where you live in San Francisco, you might be pitched on investing on an IPO in your neighborhood. You know, where you live in Boise, you might be pitched on the next MLM thing that's coming up. Right. But like me, my first opportunity to make money wasn't any of that. It was like, yo, everybody in this neighborhood is getting fucked up on drugs. We should supply them.
Yep.
You know, that was the first MLM opportunity to me. And it wasn't, it was potions and lotions, but they weren't legal. And so I get out, I go back to the car wash, go to prison, go back to the car wash. And just, man, you know what? I don't care about money anymore. I just want to be free at this point. Mm-hmm. And so I told myself I had no money, no nothing, right? I mean, I'm white trash, broke, fucking poor. You know, I left prison with everything but a damn swastika on me. You know, a lot of white mm-hmm. guys, when they're young, they go in there and they leave with that shit. It was very difficult not to have to deal with that. I had to deal with it, but not to be a part of that while in there, especially some of the places I was in. I was in some crazy fucking places. So I get out. I'm just happy to be free. If I might
stop there for a second, just because I've always been fascinated by the prison world. I've never been, but, you know, I know many who have. You got any prison survival tips real quick? I mean, I do want people to have tangible, actionable steps here from this podcast. So if anybody ends up in prison, what are your like top 3 to 5 tips to survive?
Well, I got some good stories. You know, I went in at 20 years old and came out not a part of Aryan Brotherhood. I wasn't, you know, stabbed. I wasn't, you know, jumped by the Bloods, the Crips, or the Mexican Mafia or Texas Syndicate. I actually got along with most people in there pretty well and didn't fuck with the people that I knew I wouldn't get along with. You know what I mean? And so for me, the first day in there, this is like some crazy shit has happened in my life. But again, that's why I was so happy to be a free man, you know, back at the car wash. But so when I got sentenced, And now I can look back, guys, and this is going to be hilarious too, as we're all about to laugh our asses off, but it was not fucking funny at the time. So when I got sentenced, my lawyer says, hey man, they're going to give you 2 years. You've never been in trouble before. You probably get like, you know, 3 months in county jail and go home making first parole. I'm like, oh, that sounds awesome. This county jail is weak as shit. This is cool. You know, no problem, man. I'm all in. Signed for the 2 years. 3 weeks later, I'm fucking strapped butt naked to a dude the size of fucking, you know, the MAGA Hulk. I don't know if you've seen that guy, but this is a fucking big ass dude, right? Big ass black dude. I'm strapped to him. We're butt naked with fucking shackles on, right? Because I mean, they got to make sure you ain't carrying shit when they take you to prison. And I'm sitting here in line like, hey man, my lawyer said I wasn't going to actually go down here. And they're like, yeah, you got fucking sold, you loser. Get the fuck on the bus, man. Right? So go to this bus, man, and we're in North Texas and we got to go to South Texas to the penitentiary. So we stop at a few prisons along the way. And one of the prisons, we pick up this cripple fella. Right. He just had his legs cut off. Like you could tell they're recent too. Motherfuckers still got stitches and shit with like bands and shit around them. Right.
Damn.
So they pulled this motherfucker's bandages off to make sure that he ain't got nothing on him. Right. Put him on the bus. We head down to the final destination, the prison. We get to the prison. He was the last dude we picked up. He's handicapped. So they like just strapped him to the, like I'm handcuffed to the dude next to me. They just handcuffed this motherfucker to the pole. It's not like he can run off. He ain't got no legs, right? So, so as soon as they get to where we're going, man, they push this motherfucker off the bus and make him like crawl on his fucking elbows and shit, man. Like I said, a motherfucker ain't got no legs, and ain't nobody getting a wheelchair for this dude or nothing. And then I see the fucking guards tell this inmate to fucking get him, and the fucking inmate beats the shit out of this dude, man. This dude ain't got nothing but arms, man. He, like literally, and the inmate fucking punched him. I guess this dude was a drunk driver and killed somebody important's daughter. And so they have been waiting for him there. I don't know this. I'm like, oh shit, they just beat the fucking legless dude up. What are they going to do to me when I get off of here? Right. Like, dude, it was wild. But then nothing happened. They just shaved my head and put me in a cell. But anyway, but I don't know, because I'm like, dude, if they're fucking up the handicapped, dude, what are they going to do to the rest of us? Right. Like, it was crazy. But top tips, you know, what I think allowed me to survive in there is I didn't owe anybody drug money when I got in trouble. I settled all my debts. I paid all my shit. I put all my money back. I turned my plug on to somebody else, removed myself so there was no you owe us favor. You got to get back in the game. I made all the, like a lot of people say, I'm never going back. Like I made all the steps to where I'm never going back into that life, right? Mm-hmm. Also, I was very integrity. You know, I didn't rip anybody off. I didn't kick anybody's doors in. I didn't steal from any trap houses. I just sold a little dope to people up in the suburbs that needed it, right? Yep. And so I didn't have any enemies is what I'm saying. So it's not like I done robbed a fucking Tray 5 Crips or some shit. Now I'm in prison with these motherfuckers. You know what I mean? Right. Like it wasn't anything like that. And then when I got there, man, I was minding my own business. I never looked in anybody's cell so that I never saw if he was doing drugs or each other or whatever the hell, right? I never looked in anybody's cell. If some, even today, if someone's like, hey, I don't turn around. Like, I'm not the, like, I feel you talking to somebody else or you would know my name. You know what I mean? Yeah. And, but in there, I just kept my head down. I didn't gamble. I didn't do drugs. I didn't owe nobody money. I didn't pretend like I had a whole bunch of money on the outside or anything like that. I just quietly did my time. When it came time to fight, I got in a fight. And then I ended the fight with the way that it should have been in. Whether I got my ass whooped or whether they whooped my ass, I made sure that after it was all said and done, we were fucking finished so I didn't have to worry about getting stabbed in my cell later on, you know? Mm. And then, you know, that was pretty much it. I don't have to pay for protection or anything like that. But, you know, it's just important. I think if you're going to go there, the best thing is to mind your own business. Don't owe anybody money. Do your time. You know, don't get caught up in all the fun things that can go on in there. Just fucking take your punishment like a man and do your time.
Fucking love it. Fucking love it, man. Thank you. I just wanted to segue real quick into just some prison advice. Cool, man. So you get out, you're a free man. You're back at the car wash. Go ahead.
If you want good prison advice, follow my buddy Wes Watson on YouTube. It's called General Population. Man, he's like
about cheek busting.
Yeah, man. He's got all sorts of crazy shit in there, man. He's entertaining. He's a good dude. So, you know, I get out, man. I don't want to deal with none of that anymore. And so I get out, start fresh. Don't call nobody. Go back to the car wash. I'm working at a different car wash in Irving. Same company, just different location. So that I'm like completely off, you know, out of my circles. And so one day after about 2 or 3 years of working there, one of the customers just said, hey, you know, you should come work for me. And I was like, well, you know, I got a job. she's like, my job's going to pay a hell of a lot more than the car wash. And I was like, well, you know, I'm a convicted felon, so I just work at a car wash. But I was like the best car wash person ever in history, right? I don't say that to be like, oh, look at me. Like, nobody knew. And I could build that motherfucker from scratch because my whole goal was to work my way up to one day I could save enough money to buy that bitch, right? That was my whole life goal at that time. Hey, no drugs, no nothing, putting money back, saving money, going to buy the car wash, right? Maybe one day you get some sweat equity in this place or something like that. And so this lady offers me a job. She says, look, I don't care if you're a felon. You'll probably fit right in. And here's the thing. I'll train you everything. And if we fail and you don't make more money, then I'll get you your job back here at the car wash. They took you back after prison. They'll take you back after the bank. And I was like, all right. So I walked in, quit, went to work for her the following Monday. First weekend I'd had off in forever. So I went to work on Monday. By the following Saturday, I had my first deal. And 2 weeks later, I got like $8,000.
And the job was mortgages, correct?
Yeah. And then during that time, I got another deal and it closed like 2 weeks later. And it was like $14,000 or $16,000. So in like a short period of time, like a month, I done got like fucking $24,000, which used to take me 3/4 of a fucking year to make. So shit, you could tell me now. I was like Kanye West, you know what I mean? Like, you couldn't tell me shit. And so Gates, dude, I felt rich. I never seen that much money through dope. I never seen that much money through anything. I'm like sitting on, man, I done paid off all my bills and shit and still got like 20 grand. I'm like, fuck, this is nice, you know?
So how did you do that? First month in, was it the leadership? Was it just you had a natural skill? Were you busting your balls? All of the above?
So I think the biggest talent when it comes to sales that I have is selling without selling. Really, these days, nobody likes a salesman. Salesmen are kind of like pit bulls. Pit bull dogs are some of the nicest, most loving animals you'll ever have in your entire life. Media would have you believe these motherfuckers are killing more people than cops in Minnesota right now. You know what I'm saying? Believe that pit bulls are horrible dogs, right? Same thing they do to a certain race of people too, if you think about it. But they try to act like these dogs are horrible. And really, they're some of the greatest dogs you'll ever have. Are there some bad ones? Of course, there's bad everything. Yep. But salespeople are the same way. By large, pit bulls are great family dogs. By large, salespeople are great family providers and entrepreneurs and good people. But anytime one of us rips somebody off, what do? They make the fucking Wolf of Wall Street. You know what I mean? And make us look like a bunch of degenerates. You know, really the best sales movie out there is Tommy Boy. Because that's where like shit was dumped on him. He got a mentor. He hit the road. He did the work. He made it happen. But Tommy never seemed like he was selling anybody either, right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, back to the point, I think that most people, because of the media, don't like salespeople. So if you come across trying to sell people, then they're stop inviting you to the party, basically. Like if you're the dude that always shows up to, I had about 50 people at my house on Saturday, and had somebody here been pitching everybody that was here, I would ask the motherfucker to leave because that's not what we're here to do, you know? Right. But was there business done in this room? Absolutely, right? But there's a right way to do it. And so for me, I like to sell without selling. So I'm sitting over at my friend's house. Now, mind you, I don't know shit about the fucking bank. I literally worked there for a week and I'm like, dude, I don't look like these people. I don't talk like these people, but like, I'm gonna figure it out. So I'm sitting on the couch watching the Michigan-Ohio game. And I'm at my friend's parents' house, right? We're still fairly young at this point. My friend's in college, so he's home. And we go to his parents' house. And I look over at his parents. I was like, man, y'all lived here like my whole life. You ever heard of something called a refinance? And they were like, well, you know, we've thought about it, but we have bad credit. And I was like, I think they got bad credit refinance. I just remember hearing that shit. I like, tell you what, I got this job at the bank. So I could kind of get you in on the inside, but I don't know anything about it. I literally just started there a week ago. What if I introduce you to one of the smart people that I work with and they could like save you some money or help you pay off your house or something like that? Would you at least entertain listening to them? And they were like, okay, yeah. And I was like, look, I won't even know anything about your financials and stuff because, you know, she'll be the one doing all the work. I'm just here to learn. I'm brand new. And then like the following day, turned out it's saving like $600 a month, right? They didn't have bad credit. They actually had very good credit. It's just funny how people thought that, right? So we made some money. The second one was the dude that mowed the car wash yard. He hit me up and he's like, dude, you're not there anymore. And I was like, oh yeah, I got a job with the bank. And he's like, really? I'm buying a house in like 2 weeks. And I'm like, let me do your loan. And then, you know, ended up doing his loan. He bought like a $700,000 house.
Nice.
So both of them weren't like me calling people or doing anything. It was just like, you know, people knowing that I'm in the business. People want to buy from people they know, like, and trust.
Yep.
I want to be, you know, Stumit, the guy you know, like, and trust. You know, I'm going to make a hell of a politician one day, fellas.
But I'll vote for you,
that's going to be my slogan. Stumit, the guy you know, like, and trust, right? So that's all I'm trying to do. Still today, people know me as a coach, you know, someone that helps people become the most elite version of themselves. And I get tagged probably 100 times a day between Instagram and Facebook of someone say, hey, who do you know that's done this? Or who do you know that specializes in help with this? And people tagging me because, you know, that's what they know when I'm the guy that comes to mind. And that's what you got to get good about sales. And that keeps me from having to be like, hey guys, while I got you on this podcast, you should join my program, which you totally should. But at the same time, I don't ever have to say that shit and come out and do it. I just show up and provide the content every day. And people know what I do for a living. And when it's their turn to make a decision, they hit me up every single day, man. And, you know, I don't have to be the slickest on the phone. I was the same way in the mortgage business. I didn't have to go out and get every real estate agent to give me business and go network and shake a bunch of fucking babies and kiss hands and all that shit. I didn't have to do any of that stuff.
Babies.
All I did, that's right. You got to do it. Got to do it right. All I did, man, was just put in the work in the right areas that people would know. So I've started working with investors. Hey, I'm the guy that knows these investment loans. And so, you know, I figure in my mind, a regular consumer is going to buy one house in 5 years. An investor might buy 2 or 3 a month, might buy 2 or 3 a year. But whatever it is, I'm going to get more business from the investors that I build a relationship with. Mm-hmm. So what do they want? Houses. So I went and pre-negotiated a bunch of different housing deals for investors with builders, show up in front of these investors like, I got the shit. Just let me be the one that gives you the money.
Let me give you that supply.
That's it.
Hell yeah, brother. So how did you end up evolving your career post mortgages? So you were killing it in the game, and then what happened there to move you on to the next chapter?
Yeah, 2003 I started mortgages. 2005 I became a millionaire, and I moved to the suburbs in one of the nicer homes in the town. And the town was still a pretty small town back then. We had a couple parties. The cops showed up. They realized that I lived there. They knew that I had a criminal record, and somehow they thought I was selling drugs. I wasn't. I didn't have any drugs, but I did have an unlawful firearm. It's a long story, but anyway, I had a damn gun, and I beat the case, and then the feds picked it up, and I ended up losing to the ATF, and so I ended up going back to prison for 15 months, federal prison this time. So it's like, man, you know, poor white trash car wash dude goes to prison, gets out, lives the life, gets fucking falsely accused of some bullshit, fights the case, wins the case. The goddamn federal government picks up the case. So listen, this is all behind $200 worth of dope from fucking 1999. It's 2007 at this point.
Crazy.
You know? And so now I got to fucking deal with this shit. And I go to prison. I get married before I go to prison. Fucking she divorces me and fucks the landscape guy. So now I don't fucking, when I get out of prison, I got like literally shit. I walked in there a millionaire. I walked out with enough money to buy a Happy Meal across the street at McDonald's. You know what I mean? Like, it was fucking embarrassing. And so got a job.
What were you going through just mentally and emotionally at that time? I mean, you hear that, that sounds like a rock bottom point. Like, I know in today's world, there's a lot of people dealing with what they might perceive as a rock bottom. So what did you have to do to coach yourself through that season?
Man, my life mantra is what's happening now don't define who I'm going to be. And that's just me. I'm always on the search to be a better version of myself. So when she left me, it was never like, oh my God, I'm losing everything. It's like, man, I'm an abundant thinker. I'm going to gain another one. You know what I mean? Like, listen, and now I'm smart enough to know this. Like, if you want a cute blonde, there's a fucking gazillion of them. Just scroll Instagram. We didn't know there was that many of them before social media, but they're fucking everywhere. Right. You want a cute brunette? Just scroll fucking. They're everywhere, man. Just go to the Whole Foods. They're there. The fucking wine aisle. You know what I mean? Like, but finding a life partner is different. But I didn't know that. I just thought you were supposed to find somebody that was good looking and good in bed, and you're supposed to spend the rest of your life with them. I didn't know that, you know, but I learned that lesson now. But here's the thing. You know, I got out with nothing. And I went, got a job. And you got to remember, this is 2008. So the mortgage market's fucking crashed. Mm-hmm. Goddamn, like Barack Obama became president because Bush fucked up so bad the country hated Republicans. Remember that shit? Mm-hmm. Like, had there been like a good Republican standing there, Obama probably wouldn't have happened. And I like Obama. I'm just saying that's how bad Bush fucked up. Like America literally went, well, let's put the fucking black guy in. He can't fucking do any worse than this guy. Seriously, that's what fucking happened, right? And so Obama fucking, the market tends to crash. He ended up turning around on the second term, but I wasn't in there because one of the things Obama did to help the mortgage market, which was actually a good thing, was called the Dodd-Frank Act. And it's got some good and bad, like everything the government does. But one of the things it did, man, was it said if you were a felon within the last 7 years, you couldn't get a mortgage license. And it took licenses from the state and made them federal. And fuck, I couldn't get a license. And so I'm like out of a job overnight.
Wow.
I'm just like making, you know, $70,000-$80,000 a month for 2 years again. And then now I'm fucking out of a job. So I realized that I needed to look, hey man, again, I got a problem, but that doesn't define who I am or what I'm going to be. Right. Mm-hmm. So I always look at it as, man, you're running through life. There's going to be obstacles. You got to figure out to go over it, around it, under it. Sometimes you got to dig a hole under that motherfucker. Sometimes you got to go find some plywood so you can get over the motherfucker. It's just, but it's just an obstacle. There is a way around it. Everything in life, from time in prison to fucking, you know, everything in life, there's a way around it. And so I'm just looking for the way around it. And I realized that I need a job that doesn't require a license. I need a job that I don't have a boss. I'm like, fuck, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. So I call one of my friends up and I take him to lunch. And on the way out, he says, I bought these DVDs that were like $8,000, man. You should check them out. I think it's more your speed than mine. And my friend is a cheap bastard. And when he said he spent $8,000 on some DVDs, I like to lost my shit. And so I'm like, yeah, I'll take them. So at this point, my curiosity is, A, who sold my cheap ass friend $8,000 worth of DVDs, right? Like, what, this person must be amazing. And second of all, what's on them that makes them worth $8,000, right? Typical DVDs, $19.99. So I go take these DVDs, and it was Ryan Dice's Continuity Blueprint. And this is in 2011. And so I start putting this shit together, and I just followed and did what it said. And I made a website and I started selling some stuff. And I started selling some stuff that was online, just like I went and grabbed some affiliate links a few places, but I made some sales. So I knew it was possible to make sales online. Mm-hmm. So by the time 2012 runs around, I've had a few sites that are rolling. I'm making ends meet. I'm not getting rich by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm not having to get a job. Right. Mm-hmm. And then I started writing people's social media because Facebook was like just now coming on the scene to everybody. They had ended the only college people shit. Now anybody could get a Facebook. It wasn't always that way. Mm-hmm. So I start writing for people. And so like, I would make a couple Facebook posts a day for you. You pay me $100 a month. I had like 70 clients. It's 500 down, $100 a month. And I'll write a couple posts a day for you. That shit whooped my ass. But I was writing for like 70 people. So I got good at writing Facebook posts. And I got good at knowing what worked and what didn't in a short period of time. So like a year, I stopped doing that and I started teaching the results. And at the time, nobody else had been logged into 70 profiles of different businesses and wrote their posts for them. So I had some pretty good experience. Plus I was good at a loan officer. So I started teaching loan officers how to do social media before anybody else ever fucking did that.
What tips?
Or anybody taught realtors or loan officers or insurance agents. I started teaching them how to get referrals because I knew insurance, real estate, mortgages from the banking industry because they're all tied in together. And it worked. You know, and I did that for probably 3, 4, 5 years before I said, you know what, now at that point I built and owned a bunch of businesses because I don't blow my money.
What are some of the lessons that you took away from copywriting and best practices there?
Well, you know, you just got to get good at storytelling. You know, a lot of people ask me that because they say I'm really good at writing and it's just come through practice. You know, if you want to play this instrument, you can't just pick it up. And it's a guitar for those listening. You can't just pick it up and shred like Five Finger Death Punch or Bad Wolves or some shit, right? Mm-hmm. It takes years of practice before you can really make those sounds. And it's the same with writing. I wish I could sit here and go, oh, dude, here's the trick. X, Y, Z, blah, blah, blah. The Ryan Stuman 3-step formula and you'll get rich, dude. But it's not that way. It's an instrument. The keyboard on your computer is no different than the keyboard on a piano. If you play the keyboard on a piano the wrong way, the music will run people off. They'll be like, that's not music. That's fucking noise, right? Mm-hmm. The same with your keyboard on your laptop. If you use that thing to type the right letters in, it will attract the right people. If you use the wrong letters, it'll push people away. If you're on there using the keyboard to always bitch about Trump or Biden or Harris or Pence or whatever fucking shit, you know, your business being closed or open, or if that's what you're using that keyboard for, that's bullshit music. that's bullshit music that really nobody want to listen to. It's just playing on the radio over and over, being forced down our ears like Ariana fucking Grande, right? Nobody wants to hear that shit, but we can't get a goddamn radio station that isn't fucking playing it. Yeah, because she got a fucking contract with the big man, right? A lot of these fucking political people got a contract with the big man, you know? Nope. And so back to the point, but you can also use the keyboard to inspire people, to make people snap their fingers, to make people's fucking minds open. And that's what I'm using my metaphorical, you know, music here for. It's like, no, it's not about me, but what does my audience want to learn? And I do have a process that's worked really well for me. I call the E3 method. And it's not like a copyright hack, but it helps me formulate stories because I'm a person that runs by a system. And it's like, I'm going to have an experience, that's E1. And I'm going to extract the lesson from it, that's E2. And then I'm going to either educate or entertain, that's E3, my audience. So if it's an experience that I have, it's funny, I'm going to entertain my audience. If it's experience that I have that's mind-provoking, I'm going to educate my audience, right? So I'm going through the day looking for shit that happens to me, or looking for shit that I know of that happened to my client, or I know happened on a podcast, or even on TV or in a book, and how I can maybe tell a story about it and relate it to my audience that they would actually give a fuck about.
Hold on, bro. I'm taking notes.
And notice I didn't say I'm looking how to craft a sales pitch to my audience to make me, man, look, all I need people to know is me. I just need them to know me. They need to know what I do for a living, and they need to know who I am. Now, that means I don't have to jam what I do for a living down their throat constantly, because that's not entertaining or educating. But what I do is I just want them to know me. And when they think, shit, I need some help, who knows how to write? Who knows how to build funnels? Who knows this internet shit? Who knows how to build a business? Who's got a hardcore fucking mindset? They're thinking about me, and they eventually come running our way, you know? And so in the meantime, I'm just going to keep having these experiences and sharing the lessons with people. And along the way, every couple lessons, man, people are like, you know what? That one's for me. Hey, man, how do I get in and become like you? And that's how we get them, you know?
Hell yeah, man. So you started teaching how to do all this to other professional service people. You said mortgages, real estate, insurance and whatnot. At what point did your work shift from working with teaching social media in those niches to then branching out to salespeople across all industries, and walk us through that kind of transition?
Yeah, I've had to make a few level up evolutions. My goal, guys, was never to be like the person that you know today is like Ryan Stuman. I wanted to be a behind the scenes guy. After all, I'm a felon. I'm actually, in my person, I'm pretty damn quiet. You know, I'm like, you know, if you run into me, I may or may not talk to you, you know, and it's not that I'm an asshole. I'm just actually in real life quiet, because I talk on the fucking internet all the time, right? Or on the phone or whatever. So I say that I wanted to be the behind the scenes person. So a lot of people don't know this, but I was the behind the scenes person for Josh Flagg, for Frederick Eklund, which Million Dollar Listing LA and Million Dollar Listing New York. I was low key throwing vents for a lot of those guys that people didn't know that I was involved in. You know, I helped them grow their social media. I helped some like very high profile celebrities grow their social media and shit like that. A lot of people that are well known today were some of those 70 fucking clients that I had, right? Mm-hmm. But I wanted to be the behind the scenes guy. But then these guys from the TV shows and some of the local guys that started making a little money, they start getting these big ass egos and being like divas, for lack of a better phrase. Some of them worse than others, but it got to a point where I said, I can't trust them. They're always asking for more money, and they're always wanting to do less fucking work. And that's not a good business partnership to be in, where I'm constantly giving, because I'm the type of person, you want my shoes, you can have my shoes. You want socks? Oh, hell yeah, you can have them too. You want my shirt? You can, hell yeah. My watch? Cool. Now you need my underwear, I'm going to knock the fuck out of you. You ask for one thing too many, now I got to hit you, you know? Yeah. And now I feel like I'm being robbed, and I got to go into fight or flight mode, you know? And, right. And so they kept doing that to me to the point where I was like, fuck, man, I guess I'm going to have to step out. So I have this friend named Garrett J. White. I haven't talked to him in a while but I'm sure he's still a friend. He just, back then I was working with him, so I had a little closer relationship. And I went on his podcast and just kind of told my story, kind of the one I told y'all, but in a little bit more detail. And it's kind of got all that off my chest. And the next day I said, hey, you know what? I'm going to step up and be this guy. I'm just going to own this hardcore closer moniker that they gave me, because I didn't come up with that idea. I got that working in the sales world. That's just what they called me. You know, that guy's hardcore. It's the hardcore closer. You know, it's just
nice.
I had it in the mortgage world and in the car world. And so anyway, so I thought, man, I'm just going to step up and be this person. And, you know, no more relying on the celebrities to be the stars. I got to do what it takes to be a celebrity. But here's the fucking problem. I'm a nobody. Even though I have these accomplishments, nobody knows shit about me. Nobody's like, fucking, who is Ryan Stuman? Hell, still today, probably nobody gives a fuck about me. The point is, but all I need is the people I got. You know what I mean? And so I just went out there and fucking started selling high ticket shit before Dan Lok fucking pissed all over that industry and was selling high ticket, you know, programs. Dan Lok fucking like ruined a good standing industry. He really did. You know, I don't know Dan, but I know that he trains the shittiest fucking salespeople in the world because I see them with their bullshit in my fucking sales group every day. And I'm like, ah, fucking another Dan Lok dipshit. But anyway, but Cardone's the opposite. Cardone's a great sales trainer. You know, there's lots of good people that have come through his program. I know shit, hundreds of people that have done well on Grant's training program and Jordan Belfort's straight line system. But I know zero fucking people that have done anything with Dan Lok shit. Fucking put that on Instagram and tag them. So anyway, back to the point. You know, I was selling these $5,000 events, one-day events, and then I would help you build a funnel, decorate your social media the right way and all this shit. And nobody else was doing that at the time. So it was like unheard of for people to pay $5,000 to come spend a day with somebody or whatever. And it's not like I had a room full of people, you know, $5,000 a pop, two or three people, you know, shit, that's a good day's pay, right? Yeah. And so I started doing them once a month. The first one I had like five people, the second one I had like eight people. And shit, I got these things up to where 50 people were coming paying $5,000 a pop. And then I had an upsell into a $30,000 program. And, you know, 10 or 15 of them would take that. So now all of a sudden I'm doing $500,000 at each event. Now we do somewhere between $500,000 at each event that we do and don't have to take more than 25 or 30 people to be able to do it. You know, it just stayed the course this whole time back before it was cool and popular and pissed on by Dan Lok. And so, you know, but doing that over and over with the mortgage people, other people started asking me, hey man, do you think this will work for, you know, this? Or hey man, do you think this will work in this? Or I do this. And so finally I got to a point where I said, you know what, fuck it, let's try. Worst case scenario, you lost money, but it's tax deductible, let's go. And man, we just still kept winning. There's not too many, if any, people that have been doing this since 2010 like I have, that have 0 one-star reviews, 0 ripoff reports. I fucking deliver 100% of the time. So in the event the shit wouldn't have worked out for him, we would have made other arrangements. Turned out, worked for this industry. So I'm like, okay, cool. Then I realized that shit, it's the same principles no matter what the fuck you're selling or building. Yeah. And so once I got the principles down, I'm just like, well, shit, now I nailed it. I can scale any business at this point. And the truth is I can build anything now. I've built software. I've built houses. I've built businesses. I've built companies. I've built organizations. I've built masterminds. I've built events. The fucking list goes on. I know I can build anything now. I got confidence up to here because I pulled it off. You know?
Oh, yeah. What are some of those universal principles that have worked across all industries that you've seen?
Well, you know, one of the first things is people got to know you. I've said that a bunch in here, man. If you repetition is mastery's guy, I'm just working you fellas.
Love but it.
People got to know who you are. There's evolutions as a business person. First, you start off, you're working somewhere. Maybe you're a salesperson, maybe you're a manager, whatever the case may be, like me, right? Then eventually start your own business. It was forced on me, so I had to go start my own business. I didn't have a choice. I didn't grow up saying, I want to be an entrepreneur. I grew up wanting to be a banker in my 20s once that was my job. That's what I want to do for the rest of my life, maybe own a bank or some shit, right? But here I am, fucking entrepreneur, you know? And I'm truly one of the pioneers of social media. Like it was literally me and Gary Vaynerchuk and nobody else. Nobody else was doing this shit, right? There wasn't millions of followers and all that shit didn't exist back then the way that it fucking does now.
Yeah.
Blue checks weren't around, none of that shit. You know what I mean? And people still called it Facebook. And so, but you go to become an entrepreneur. Then you after you hire a few people, you start getting your shit together, you organize, you become an organization, right? A CEO, right? So you go employee, / salesperson, self-employed, CEO. Now all of a sudden as a CEO, you got to make sure everything's paid first and you're paid last. As salesperson and self-employed, you're paid first, right? But now you got to pay yourself last. Then eventually, if you do your job right, then you can go from being the CEO to an owner and you have a CEO working for you. And that's quote unquote as high as there needs to be no retirement. If you own something, why the fuck would you retire? Delegate the work to be done for you. That's where we're going in life. But here's what it takes to go from the self-employed to the investor or the owner, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people make this mistake. It takes authority in the marketplace. So the principles are this, how to gain the authority, you gain the business. Why do we go to Walmart? Because we know it. Nobody says, I'm going shopping at fucking Target. Hey, where's the nearest Walmart, right? That's what people say. In your area, you might have a Winn-Dixie, you might have a Brookshire's, you might have a Albertsons, but whatever it is, that's, you don't call it the grocery store. You call all grocery stores whatever the name of that one is, right? Like we call all Q-tips, right? That's not even what they're called. They're called cotton swabs. We call them Q-tips because Q-tips was the one that put the brand on its first, right? Mm-hmm. And so your job, if you want to fucking win in business, is to become the authority, the known entity for whatever it is that you do. I work for this mortgage company and they ran $300,000 worth of TV commercials every month. Right? Why? Because they want the fucking marketplace to know them. Still right now, and if you live in North Texas, you're about to know who I'm talking about. Their slogan is, low rates, we got them. And I guarantee if there's people from North Texas listening to your shit right now, they know exactly the company I'm talking about because everybody fucking here knows them, right? Because they're the authority in the marketplace. And so now back to the point here, those principles to become the authority are publish a book. You know, it's so easy to publish a book these days. Sure, it takes a little work, but you don't have to go get an interview with a publisher. It doesn't have to be fucking professional, this, that, and the other. You can go get a book cover from Fiverr, translate some shit on Rev.com, and upload a book to Amazon and be a best-selling fucking book author in the fucking child rehabilitation and attention order category that just fucking crushes it, right? Like, but people don't realize that shit. And look, man, you're a best-selling author. You're a best-selling author. Fucking, you know, what people be like, oh, but he's best-selling author in child disabilities or some shit. Bitch, what have you authored, right? I'm a fucking light year of steps ahead of you, you fuck. And I'm not saying that I've done it that way, but I mean, it's that easy to do, you know? Write a book, get in Forbes or Inc. or some shit. You're going to have to pay to do it, right? Until you get good, then they'll pay you to do it. That's what they do to me. Right. But in the beginning, you're going to have to pay to do it. Get in there, deliver good. They'll eventually pay you. I've won the award with Forbes 5 fucking years in a row now. And it'll probably be 6 when this year is up, which is about to happen. And which is good because the plaques on my wall are uneven. Now, back to the point. The other thing is you need to become a writer. Maybe you make videos on YouTube and all that shit. But you need to become a writer for like medium.com for Inc. or something of that nature. The next thing is you need to put videos on every outlet, man. It don't take nothing to hold a phone horizontal and make a video and upload that shit to YouTube. It's all free. So all these resources are out there. People are like, oh, I only got 13 views. What if one of them comes and buys some shit from you? Was it worth it? Took you 10 minutes to make that video. When it took you 10 hours to call 13 people and get one of them to buy from you. What if 13 more people watch it next month and another one buys from you? That video is all of a sudden making you money, huh? But like most people don't do that. They go, oh, the internet's not for me, or oh, I'm scared of technology. And this year they got a big slap in the face because guess what? If you wasn't fucking on the internet this year, your shit got fucked up in the middle of summer, you know? Which is why we've been busy at Break Free Academy, because people are like, oh, that shit you've been talking for 10 years, we finally need to do it. The Rona fucked us up. We can't do X, Y, Z. Tell us how we become fucking known in our marketplace without cold calling and knocking doors and all that shit every day. But the principles are to be known, right? To be the person. How do you do that? You get exposure with PR. You get on videos. You do social media every single day. And if you don't have time to do it, you hire a fucking professional to do it for you, but you don't ignore it, because if you ignore it, you're missing out on money. One day you're going to wish you had that money. All good things come to an end. One day Facebook will come to an end. One day Google will come to an end. All good things come to an end. But if you don't take advantage of it, you'll miss out on that money. MySpace came to an end. We've watched a lot of sites like Snapchat was hot as fuck for a little while. It sure cooled off, didn't it? Then TikTok was hot as fuck for a little while. It kind of cooled off a little bit. Now they got this new shit, Clubhouse, you know? Oh, it's all the rage now and all this. So there's always something trying to replace the other things, you know? And I think Instagram stole a lot from Facebook, and Instagram stole a whole lot from Snapchat, you know? So anyway, those are the principles, man. Get known, put in the work, and you got to do everything you can to get known. Because if everybody knows your name, then when someone mentions what you do, they fucking think about you or your company or brand.
So what does your coaching look like today? I know COVID might have affected it early on, but I know you're still doing some live events with like Apex. Like what does it consist of these days? I know before it was like just social media and kind of maybe some in-person coaching. What does that look like for you today?
Well, first, let me preface this with this. I did 3 years of my life in prison where they told me what to wear, what to drink, what to do, And if you think for a goddamn split fucking second I'm gonna let fucking governors and fucking mayors and shit tell me how to live my life, then you're fucking scared pussy, because I don't fucking let them. You know what they did? They told us to shut our fucking business down in Dallas. You know what I did? I'm not a fucking idiot. I read what the fucking list of essential businesses were, and I filed an LLC under one of the fucking essential businesses, opened my door, and told them to fucking suck my dick because there's nothing they can fucking do. Because
did you hear about that? It was a church that reclassified itself as a strip club so they can remain open?
Yeah. I mean, you got to do what you got. There's some people, and this is what they do. Oh, man, they took it from me. I could have said that. Shit, the government took my fucking mortgage license. What do I do? I could have jumped off a fucking bridge. Right, I guarantee you that'd have been an easier life than what I've had to get where I am now. I'm glad I didn't jump off that bridge, but it would have been a lot fucking easier, right? But that's what most people do. They're like, oh, the government took my license. What do I do? It's an obstacle, bitch. There is an obstacle in your way at all times, and every obstacle has a way around it. Sometimes you got to practice jumping a little higher. Sometimes you got to dig a little deeper. Sometimes you got to be a little bit quicker, but there's always an obstacle there. It's never going to fucking disappear, but there's always a way around every obstacle. It's a universal principle on this fucking planet, and when you understand that, then you don't give a fuck what the government and all this shit does, right? So I get in there, obstacles in the way, obstacles out of the way, right? I got the Apex license. We waited 2 months just to see what the fuck was going to happen because, man, we were watching Chinese videos of fucking bodies on the street and shit. I'm thinking we're about to have World War Goddamn Z over here, right? Turns out none of that shit's even fucking real.
I was just talking to Eugene. He's out in San Francisco. They just released numbers. I think
over more people committed suicide.
Yeah.
Or drug overdoses.
Drug overdoses. Yeah, in San Francisco. Well, the last month, Japan had over 2,000 suicides, and that was like way more in 1 month than all of their COVID deaths put together for the entire year. You're just like, all right, whatever. Done. Well,
I lost 2 grandparents this year, and probably COVID's on their death certificates, but that ain't what killed them. I've had a lot of close personal friends and clients get it and say it ain't shit's the flu. You know, here's what I know. I broke my neck last year in 2 places. Okay. They told me I'd never walk again. I had an ATV accident. I just went riding ATVs on Saturday, by the way, again, because like, again, I'm not going to let nobody tell me what I can and can't do. The doctors fucking told me you'll never walk again. I walked out of the fucking hospital. Okay. The next day, never walk again to walk it. Fucking doctors, don't put that on me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's been a year since I started working out again because I had to take 3 months off because I broke my fucking neck. Although I could walk, it was not easy, right? Mm. And now, just last week, I squatted on my fucking neck with the bar 365 fucking pounds, right? So, like I got this shit, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to let nobody tell me no. But the reason why I say that is I could have listened to the doctors and been like, fuck this, I'm going to be in a wheelchair. And I could have believed that and been in the wheelchair. Right. So what reason why I tell you that is you could catch COVID and be like, oh, fuck, this is a death sentence. You're like, oh, I'm having a hard time breathing. You need a ventilator and shit, like, because your fucking mind's stronger than you think it is. Or you're like most of my friends and clients that have caught it and you get it. And you're like, I ain't shit, man. I was out for like 3 days. Fucking I'm back. I don't have the flu before. It's no big deal. So it's all in what you think about it. That's why placebos work so well. The fucking vaccine, probably half of those motherfuckers are placebos and we don't even know it. We're some kind of controlled experiment. Over here, you're like, oh shit, man, I'm cured, right? Like, bitch, we gave you sugar water, you know? But that's how strong your fucking mind is. So with me, I'm just like, hey, if I was to get it, which it's crazy, I haven't. I've been in 15 states and 3 fucking countries and events with thousands of fucking people doing this shit like a free fucking man should have this whole time. While my competition sat back and argued about masks, I ripped mine off and got on the fucking streets. And, you know, nothing's fucking happened to me. I ain't been sick. Ain't nobody caught anything from any of our fucking events. None of that shit, man. We've been good. And Texas is pretty open now, so we don't have to worry about that. But, you know, after the first couple of months and realizing those Chinese videos were fake and we were being lied to and manipulated at a very large fucking scale, I said, fuck it. We're going to have events again. People started showing up just a couple at a time. And then a couple more showed up and they were like, you know what? Fuck me. Ain't nobody getting sick in Texas. We're fucking rolling and we're good, you know? And now I'm planning on throwing an event. I'll make the announcement next month, but an event for 1,000 people in April, like I planned on doing this fucking year, which got shut down. The hotel wouldn't let me do it. So we did it online for 30,000 people for free, right? An obstacle always in the way, but there's a fucking always a way around it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I made more money because I had more people who bought more shit and I didn't have the overhead of a fucking hotel. And it was perfect timing for me because right now virtual meetings ain't doing shit. You know why? Because every fucking jerk off out there is doing them. At the time, I was the very first one while the fucking world was on lockdown. So they ain't have shit better to do than watch my stuff. You know?
Hell yeah, bro.
Which is just lucky timing. I didn't do that intentionally, but I thought, well, fuck it. We got to pivot and do this stuff. There's an obstacle in our way. What are we going to do? And so saying all that, I haven't changed my event shit at all. I did for a couple months, but now we're rocking and rolling. We just had two this month in December with over 100 people at each.
Oh, yeah. So real quick before we come down the home stretch here, before we start wrapping this up. So what is the future hold for Ryan Stuman and the Hardcore Closer brand and all your brands 2021? What are you projecting out there into the world?
Well, you know, last year I said that 2018 would be the year where people didn't really think of me as like Hardcore Closer sales guy anymore and more just Ryan Stuman, and Hardcore Closer is just kind of like my handle and shit, you know? Mm-hmm. And I've done a pretty good job of that in the last year and a half, almost 2 years. But my job now is bigger. You know, I'm on a mission in life, and my mission's simple. It's to help as many people as possible become the best version of themselves. And I'm not going to quit, you know, and it's not about money for me. I got money. I mean, you should see the house I'm in. It's beautiful. You should see the cars that I got or drive or don't drive. I actually sold a bunch of them recently. They're fucking offering top dollar for exotic cars right now. Like if you got some nice cars, they ain't making them. Italy shut down, the UK shut down. So my Rolls Royce and Lambo fucking shit, I made a lot of fucking money off of them. Nice. After owning them for a long time, but I kept the 720. But the reason why I say all that is like, you know, it's not about money. I got everything I want. You know, I'm a pretty simple dude. I wear t-shirts and jeans every day. I do like nice cars, a little four wheeling, but I have all of that. So it's not about money at this point to me. It's about contributing and seeing how many lives I can change, and not just through my clients, guys, right? There's way more people that read my posts on Instagram and Facebook than will ever pay me, and that are getting their life enhanced and getting appreciation in their personal assessment and appraisals too. And so, man, I'm just on a mission to help as many people as possible. And that mission didn't stop in 2019. It ain't going to stop in 2020. And it ain't going to be stopping in 2021. It's for the rest of my life. This is a lifelong mission to help as many people. Like I fought this for so many years and said, you know, shut up, inner voice. I just want to be the behind the scenes guy. But fuck it, I'm out here now. So I might as well play all in, you know?
Fuck yeah, brother.
I'm out of the closet.
Hell yeah, man. Well, bro, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on. This hour flew by, man. So we definitely have to continue the conversation sometime. But before we let you go, we got a couple minutes left. So I definitely want to end it with our signature question. Being that we are the Dedication to Excellence podcast, Ryan Stuman, in your own words, and would like for you to riff on this for maybe a few minutes, because I feel like you got some heat to bring. What does it mean to live a life in dedication to excellence?
Well, you know, I think if you're going to do anything in life, first you have to define what it means to you. You know, especially in the English language, especially in America, a lot of what we say is very vague, right? When we say excellence, what does excellence mean? Does excellence mean a 12% body fat? You know, does excellence mean $1 million in your bank account? Does excellence mean a marriage that's truly thriving and happy? Does excellence mean providing above and beyond abundantly for those that rely on you, your kids, your employees? What does excellence mean to you? Okay, that's first. The second is, what does dedication mean? Dedication to me is synonymous with commitment. That means that if I put in on it, I'm never quitting. The reason why I have over 2,300 podcasts is because I didn't fucking quit. Reason why I have 1,200 videos on YouTube, it's never fucking quit. I was dedicated and committed to doing those things, right? And have I gotten better? Absolutely, because that's part of it. That's the part of it. Excellence is the carrot dangling in front of the donkey on the stick. You know, we never really achieve it. Just like greatness, excellence and greatness are synonymous, and you never really achieve it. You get to, this is the greatest thing about being a human being on earth, is you get to a level that you think you could never be better ever, and you find out you can. There's still more. That's the greatest thing about, but here's the other thing. That goes the opposite too. You'll find out you don't think you can get any fatter. Fuck, you can, right? You don't think you can get any poorer. Fuck, you can, right? There's debt, right? You don't think that you can get any sicker. Fuck, you can, right? Like that goes both ways. But when you push yourself and you push back against what I call the force of average, on this planet. But when you assert and push yourself, you find out that you'll never really achieve what's possible, because the what's possible is truly impossible at the time when you render the vision to chase it, you know? So you get committed to excellence. First, we must define what excellence is. And when I mean define what excellence is, what does that mean to you? Excellence isn't just a word. It's got to be a destination. It's got to be something you're striving to be, and it's got to be laid out. This dollar amount, this percent of body fat, this weight, this event in my marriage, this event in my relationship, this event in my business. That's what excellence means to me. And then get committed to making those small things that you checked off on there of what excellence is. Get committed to making those things happen. You see, it's easy to say, oh, I'm dedicated to excellence, and then go leave here, go take two shots of fucking tequila, a whole bunch of Ambien, and pass out at 3 o'clock in the fucking afternoon and act like I did something, right? Right? It's easy for me to give that lip service, but if I never define what excellence truly is, which is definitely not fucking getting high and passing out in the middle of the fucking day, right? But if I have that fucking definition, then I'll know if that's truly what I'm committed to, then this is what I got to make happen today.
We can go ahead and close it right there with the hardcore closer himself, Ryan Stuman. Thank you so much for swinging through today, man. Definitely appreciate your time. Go ahead and let the people know where they can follow you and buy your shit.
Yeah, everywhere that if it's my face or name and it doesn't have a blue check next to it, man, it's an imposter. Unfortunately, that's part of the nature of the business that I'm in. There's lots of Ryan Stuman imposter accounts and shit like that out there, because I am the only Ryan Stuman living or that has ever lived. I'm adopted, and so was my adopted dad. So there's not a shitload of Stumans. There's like four of us left on the planet that aren't in my immediate wife and kids, right? But you can go to onespotsocial.com/closer, onespotsocial.com/closer. There's all my social media profiles, my websites, my programs, anything you need. And while you're there, you might as well sign up. It's a free site. It's cool. It's a place to send people that has all your shit, all your social media, your website, your contact information. So onespotsocial.com/closer is my profile. You might as well sign up for free while you're there. I just happen to own the company. It's great. There's no upsells or credit cards or anything else. So just go over there and enjoy a free tool that I have given you. I'm not even going to fucking email you. That's how cool I am. I'm just giving you some free shit. So free game.
Value, value, value. Love it, man. Well, again, thank you so much. And for everyone listening, tuning in lately, listen to this episode multiple times. Just nuggets upon nuggets upon nuggets that I'm going to definitely throw this on repeat a handful of times myself. Not because I like my voice, but because you were dropping some serious bars there, brother. But on behalf of the Dedication to Excellence podcast, I'm your host, Eugene Samanpos, alongside my co-host, Dustin Reyna. We appreciate everyone who's been showing love and support. If you like what you hear, please tell a friend. That's really our cost to admission here. Leave a review. And with that, we will catch you on the next episode. Y'all stay blessed. Go out there and dominate. Go close some shit. Peace.